So we are on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a. We covered last time really from five lines from the bottom. Maybe we'll go back a little bit, being that we're not up to that in my shooter of the week. Maybe cover from back to the middle of the two dots in the middle of the page, and then we'll see what happens from there. So Tanya, right? So we've been in. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? So if we look back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda said that when you have a nifredu, when you have the lulav as all spread out, so Rabbi Yehuda requires one to bind together. Rabbi Yehuda Omer yagdenu l'malah. Rabbi Yehuda says to bind it towards the top. So what was the reason? So we may recall that on the bottom here, on Lamed Aleph, it quoted the Rabbi Yehuda as that was one of the shailas on Rabbi Yehuda, asking Rabbi Yehuda, you see that you require hadar, you see that you require it to be nice because you require it to be bound. And Rabbi Yehuda, and we respond by saying, no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that the reason is because he needs it to be hadar. The reason Rabbi Yehuda requires it to be bound is because of a special gezeiras hakaza, because of the way that one reads the pasuk. So what is it? So Tanya, so that was quoted from this brisa, or at least the brisa is quoted here as well. You can see on the right side, or at least in my Gemara, it's the right side. In your Gemara, it might be someplace else. Art scroll users, it would be someplace else. And the Masorah Shas on the top left, well, no, on the top right, you're on the wrong page. We're here now. Right, so in here, the source of Shas, so we'll send you to, right, the notation will be, look on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. That's the page earlier where this is quoted earlier. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Kapos Temarim, Kafus, Imayaforod, Yichfetenu. Right, Kapos Temarim, which we normally said was branches from a palm tree, also means Kafus, it's got to be bound together. The Imayaforod, that if it is spread out, it has to be bound together. So Rabbi Yehuda comes up with this idea. It's actually not just, forget about it. It doesn't matter what the reason is. Right? It doesn't matter if the reason is hadar. It doesn't matter if the reason is, Zekeli, it's got to be nicer. The reason is because the pasuk says it. So the pasuk says that it has to look like one long branch. It can't look like a spread out, leafy kind of thing. Okay, so that was the brisa that we've quoted already. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. So this is all challenging Rabbi Yehuda now. So Ravina said to Ravashi. Now keep in mind, Ravina and Ravashi are living a couple hundred years after Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Right? Rabbi Yehuda was a Tana. Ravina and Ravashi were Ravashi. That's how you pronounce it. Ravashi were Amorayim, and they weren't just Amorayim, but they were the last of the Amorayim. They were the ones who are credited with codifying the Gemara. Are these two people? So in their discussions about this, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. They said, hey, wait a second. How do we know that kapos tamarim, right, that pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, how do we know that even means the lulav branches as we know it? Right? Ema charusa. Maybe it means the hardened branch. Right? Maybe it means not, maybe maybe not just that that it has to be together. Maybe it just means that we wait for it to be hardened, and that's what we use. So they say no, but inon kafus v'leika. So no. So we learn out from this idea of Rabbi Yehuda that we require kafus. They require for it to be bound. By the way, this is important because it appears like it is showing that it is showing. Well, how do you use that pasuk if you're not Rabbi Yehuda? Right? If you're not Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with the idea that it's kafos tamarim? So here we're saying what we do with it. Right? I'll tell you what that pasuk means, the idea of kafos, the idea that it's bound. The idea is that you take the lulav while it's still one long lulav, like the one we're used to seeing, right? All the branches going up, they're all stuck together, they're all tight, they're all bound in. But if it's once it begins to spread out, as lulavim are wont to do, right, otherwise known as palm fronds, right, once they begin to spread out, right, so then that's a problem. So be'inon kafos v'leika, we require for it to be bound, and in that case it wouldn't be bound. So ve'ema ufta, so okay, fine. So it has to be bound, it has to look like it's one long stick. So maybe just take an ufta. What's an ufta? An ufta is a log. Right, if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi appears about five lines before it gets wide. It says ve'ema ufta. What is that? So that's an ashtila. Great. What's an ashtila? What does an ashtila mean? Right, ashtila, of course, would be the Rashi's French term for whatever he's about to say. And he's about to say, mi'ikara dekel, from the main part of the dekel, from the main part of the palm tree. Meaning what? Shu chalak, which is smooth, which is straight. Ve'in anaf yotzi mimenu, and there's no leaves, you're not going to have to worry about any leaves leaving it. L'chan u'l'chan, on either side, she'in lach kafus mimenu, because there aren't any, right, there's nothing there. Right, so why don't, if we're saying it's kapus tzmarim, that it has to be kafus, that it has to be bound up, it has to be, right? So then just use a log, right? Just use something from the trunk, use whatever you want, right? Or whatever you want from that tree, but something else other than anything that has leaves. So it says, no, kafus, miklal de'ika parus, fahai kafus fi omid li'olam. It says, no, the fact that it says bound, that means that it could spread out. I mean, it needs to have the potential to spread out. But if I were to tell you, take this, a bound chair, right? That doesn't make any sense, because chair can't be unbound. Right? The only time I would ever use the adjective of bound is by something that, if it's not bound, would be spread out. Right? So it needs that requirement. So it doesn't make sense to say a bound log, because logs aren't bound. Fine. So but however, this is straight. This is a branch, and it stands there forever. It never has the possibility of being parut. Okay, so we've knocked out the idea that it's going to be the trunk. We've knocked out a part that it's going to be a branch. So the ima kufra, maybe you could use the shoots. What are these shoots? What are we talking about? That if they're when they're still very young. Right, and it hasn't yet started growing its leaves or its branches. Right, let's use one of those kufras. So let's use a kufra. So, Rabbi, you know that's not the case, and of course, there's a very interesting proof here. Why not? Its ways are ways of. I had trouble finding the word for Noam last week. Also, days are days of. Its ways are gladness. It says okay. Pleasantness. Okay, it's ways and ways of pleasantness, the word I was looking for. Good. And all of its ways are peaceful. So what kind of proof is that? And what kind of proof is that? Right? What do you mean the ways of... What is the fact that the Torah is sweet and beauty and truth?
It has a certain amount of maturity?
Yeah, but so what? What does this have to do with lulav? What does this have to do with Esther?
It has to be fully grown.
So the lulav has to be pleasant to hold. It can't be disgusting.
Right. The Gemara is asking Akashi. The Gemara is asking, how do you know that it has to be a lulav like we say? Right? The characteristics that are given in the Torah would fit a description of one of these shoots. Right?
What's
just as
shoot,
well.
I mean?
A shoot is like a sapling. Right? Very early on. Very early on. So maybe I'm supposed to take one of those. Right? It has the potential to grow things coming out.
Forgive me, but what would a shoot look like?
So I don't really know. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says ve'ima kufra, two lines before it becomes wide. Hayunami eitz ke'in charusa, right? A tree that's very little. El adayin ben shano shtei shanim, it's 1 or 2 years old. Velonis aba eitzo, it hasn't yet grown a thick wood. Ve'ata yachon lichpos anafav ayidei igud ulazakfan lamala la'ogdan im avihen. Right, and you could take some of the branches and stick it. Are they igud?
Why would that not be pleasant then? I mean, we say.
So why is that not pleasant? So let's look at the next Rashi. Derechad derechin noam ve'elu asuin kikotzin ve'yotzin behen uksin harbei umesartin esayadayim. No, because these very young little saplings are filled with thorns and are filled with yucky stuff, whatever.
It's up in your hands.
So therefore, we're not going to use that. So what's this? That proof is coming from the middle of nowhere. It's just when all things being equal. So this is really what the Rechad Darchei Noam means. When all things are equal, when all possibilities really have the same likelihood of being right, right? We take the one that's more pleasant.
Is that always or just here?
This pasuk is often invoked. It's not that this is the pasuk used for lulav. Right? That pasuk is teaching us.
Oh, this is pasuk is not found in.
No, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs, right? And Shlomo Melech wrote, right?
So we're just going to apply this in all cases.
So no, not in all cases. When any time that you have two possibilities, right? And the pasukim would fit both of them, right? Both of them would work according to the stipulations given for that section, So we'll go with Derechei HaDarchei Noam. We'll go with the
like
one that would be
criteria,
more important. It could be, once
well,
in a while.
Well, but does this why should this invalidate the less pleasant one? For example, last week you talked about, you made a reference to a mikvah, a pool of water, getting benefit if it were cold.
Okay.
Right? Couldn't you then use this phrase to say, a cold mikvah is pasul? You could have a mikvah that could be warm or it could be cold.
No. But here the Torah is telling us, the Pasuk in Vayikra is saying one thing is what you use for a lulav. It's not like they're both possibilities and I'm going to take away. One of them is what we use for a mitzvah,
okay.
And one of them is not.
I gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
So now... So Amar Le Rava Tosfa'a Le Ravina. Right? So Rava... Tosfa'ah, I think that's his name.
Question?
Yes.
Does this phrase come into play in other other?
Yes. It does pop up every now and again.
You would think it'd apply to a lot of things.
I believe it applies. I'm pretty sure that's the pasuk that's used in the beginning of Yevamos. The Gemara asks, right, if a woman doesn't, right, Yevamos is, right, a brother dies without any kids, right, so his wife marries the other brother, right? So, and what if there's no other brother? Right, so what if there's no other brother?
Oh, now of course she can marry his sister, but that's beside the point. Go on, I'm sorry.
So, if she does, then she's free to marry whoever she wants.
So she's gone, right? How do you know that he's never going to have a brother? Maybe his parents will go on and, you know, oh, Nebuch, you know, let's have another kid. Right? How do you know that the parents aren't going to go ahead and have another brother?
Oh, you mean in the future?
That's a good point.
Future. Right? So I believe this pasuk is invoked there.
How does...
We say, Derechei HaDarchei Noam, v'chol nesiv Yisrael. No, of course, the Torah is our ways of peace and nice, whatever. We're not going to hold this kid this woman hostage. There's a possibility that our parents may
have... And that even if they do, it's going to be 20 years
later. His parents have more kids. His parents would have more kids. Right.
At which point she wouldn't be able to have kids anyway.
And then she'd be right. In those days she'd probably be dead. But yeah, I believe this pasuk is invoked there. That that's okay. So Amale Rava Tosfa'a L'Ravina. So Rava Tosfa'a says to Ravina, V'ima tarte kape desamre. How do you know that kapos temarim doesn't mean clusters of dates? Right, tamars are dates. Right, because you can date tamar, you can't date teina. Teinas are pomegranates. Right, that's how I remember. Anyways, so Amalei Rava Tosfa'a L'Ravina Ve'ima Tarte Kapi Desamri. Maybe there are two great clusters of tamarim of dates. So it says no kafos ksiv. It says kafos without a vav. Right, there's no vav there. So therefore, it's singular. So ve'ima chada. So then take one. Maybe that's what you do for lulav. You take up one kapas tamarim, one thing of tamarim. This is no lahu kaf karle. If that would be the case, then it would be a kaf tamar. Right? So the fact that there's no vav there, what does that indicate? Right? That's not really plural, but it's kind of plural. It's not, but whatever. That means that you don't take a bunch of dates. Rather, you take the branch. That's what we learn from here. Okay, so now... We've established how we know what a lulav is, right? That's the last 10 lines, right? It went through all the characteristics of different types of things based on what the pasuk is. Right? It's concluded that what is a lulav? A lulav is a branch that has leaves, has the possibility of spreading out, but have not yet spread it out. And if they did spread out, so then you have to pull them back together, or you should at least try to hold them back together. And that's the way we have a mitzvah of lulav.
And it's one, and it's one branch.
And one branch, right? One branch as opposed to two clusters. Yeah. Okay, so the next line in the Mishnah. The next line in the Mishnah was.
Where was the Mishnah again?
On Chaf Tes Amud Beis, right? So we had Nifritsu, Nifridu, Rabbi Hudam Reagdenu Milmala, right? Tzine Har Barzel Kesher. So have one more category. That of the Tzine Har Barzel. What is that?
Oh, He repeats it?
Yeah, he has the Mishnah? Hebrew here and it translates it here.
Yeah. Right, but I was looking for the actual Mishnah.
Right. So it's just one phrase by itself in the Mishnah. Sine Har Barzel, and the Mishnah says that it is kosher. Right, Sine Har Barzel Kesheris are kosher. And that's the next category, and that's what it says here. Sine Har Barzel Kesheris. So Amar Abai. So what are these Sine Har Barzel? What in the world are we talking about? What are these things? So Rashi already gives his own definition here. Right, Sine Har Barzel. They're lulavin shalahen he'alin mu'atim b'shidra miruchakim zel malamizeh. They're lulavim that on them the leaves are lesser. Right, there are less leaves there on b'shidra attached to the spine. Miruchakim zel malamizeh, and they're a little distant from one another. This one on top of that one harbe. I mean, they're very distant. Va'od, and also shektanim hein la'arkan. Oof, they're not so long. Ufamim in magia rosher shall alazeli karoshelze. And once in a while, one leaf doesn't reach the top of one leaf doesn't reach the bottom of the next leaf, right? So as opposed to our lulavim, where you know they're all there, it's a V on top of a V on top of a V on top of a V, right? This is going to be like this, right? And if this doesn't reach the bottom of here, right, that's going to be a problem, as we're going to see. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye comes to tell us, Lo shanu ela shirosho shelzeh magia letzad ikaro shelzeh. So Abaye says, right, our Mishnah gave carte blanche, right? Our Mishnah said Tzine Har Barzel is kosher, right? That's what was said, right? We don't have any reason to say otherwise. Until Abaye comes along, it says, oh, that Mishnah, Loshan, was only taught El Sharosh El Zeh, Magil Tzadi Karo El Zeh, when the top of one reaches the side of the bottom of the next one. About Ein Rosh El Zeh, Magil Tzadi Karo El Zeh, Pasul. But if that doesn't happen, if the top of this one does not reach the top of the bottom of the next one, right, in that case, it would be Pasul.
Question?
Yes.
Okay, Har HaBarzel, that's an actual place?
Yeah, so there's this very short thing that you're still going to ask me about. I don't really have an answer for. That's described at the end of this Gemara about a little bit about what the place is. I still don't really have a question, an answer about it though. We'll see.
But the lulavim that grew there had different characteristics.
Right, that's slightly right. Not too different, but somewhat different.
Do we know where this place is?
The Gemara says we do.
Where is it?
Right outside Yerushalayim.
Oh, okay. Do they still grow lulavim there?
I doubt it.
Which side? West or the east? Or the north?
South.
Oh, so in Gush Etzion.
No. Right outside. I mean, like...
Oh, yeah. Outside of the old city.
Down the block. We'll see. So Amar Abaye, L'shon El Shoshu Shalzeh Megillah Tzadi Karo Shalzeh, Val Ein Roshu Shalzeh Megillah Tzadi Karo Shalzeh, Pasul. So Tanya Nami Hachi... we have another braisa to this effect. Tzine Hara Barzel Psula. Right? That the Tzine Hara Barzel are pasul. Right? Hi. Kashera. Ibar Mishnah said they're a kasher. Shmamina Kabay Shmamina. So rather, it must be Abai is right. So what's going on here? Right? When we say Tanya Nami Hachi, means that we have a braisa like what Abai taught. Right? So what is that braisa like what Abai taught? Right, that Tzine Har Barzel is pasul. That's like the braisa that Abaye taught. That's a little bit problematic. Right, what do you mean? That's like Abaye taught. Abaye didn't teach that Tzine Har Barzel were pasul. He taught that they were nuanced, right? That some are good and some are bad. So how is that a braisa that is like Abaye? Right, so it's not really. The Gemara points out how it is. Right, Vahan and Tanan Kashira. What do you mean a braisa says it's pasul? But we have a Mishnah that says it's kosher. So how do we resolve the difference between the braisa and the Mishnah? Right, El Shmamina Ka Abaye Shmamina. So rather we learn out like Abaye. That's how we resolve that difference. Right? And now the Gemara is going to show you a different way, perhaps a little bit more familiar. People that learn Gemara would be the next way of the way that the Gemara teaches it.
So that if they don't really give a proof, they just state it. In other words, they don't say why; they just say Abaye. We learn like Abaye, and he says it's possible.
Well, how did Abaye say it? Well, it's a proof because otherwise that price doesn't make sense. being a bayi. Look at the next. Look on the next page, right? Ve'ika deramile mirma. There are some that teach it in this way. There are some that teach it with this teaching. Tana, we have a Mishnah. This is a quote from our Mishnah, right? Tzinehar barzel kashera, right?
Right.
Vatanya psula, right? But there's a braisa that says it's puzzle. So Amar Abayi, so Abayi resolves the contradiction as follows, right? Lo kashya. Right, that's the way he resolves the conflict, right? And that's how we that's the way he solves the problem, right? So you're right. It's not really a proof. It's only a proof.
This isn't
as far
this
as
this is simply supplying missing information. We're not deducing anything. We were told two things. They seem to be in conflict only because we weren't told the distinction between the two. We didn't have to figure anything out on our own.
Right. Okay, so the first way it was said, right, it would be seen as a proof because there's no other unless you come with another resolution. Right, the Tanya Kavase de Abaye, right, that the fact that there's a brisa like Abaye is, the fact that there's a brisa that's diametrically opposed to what the Mishnah says, right, indicates that there must be two different cases.
Or that something is missing.
Right, that we have a proof for. Right, the fact that Abaye's distinction of what those two cases are,
we just have to do it to accept it without.
That looks like we're accepting, right? That we don't really have a proof that would be the distinction. But on the other hand, no one else seems to have come up with their own distinction. There's no one else that says anything else here. Yeah. You don't really know. So now you ask where it was. So Amar Rabbi Marion, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now it's interesting because on the previous Amud, in the previous Sugya that we didn't cover tonight, there's a couple times when it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and both of those times it changes to Maton in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Right? And here it's saying Rav Marion. Rabbi Marion. I don't know if it's the same person. But anyways, I'm Rabbi Marion. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
I have a stupid question.
Stupid one, okay.
Yes. Basic question. When you have the names of two different rabbis...
It's only us and the rest of the world.
And the rest of the world, exactly.
Only five other people.
When you have the names of two different rabbis...
Yes.
Which is the initial... Declarant,
usually the later one. It's Amar Rabbi Marion, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Usually we say it as Rabbi Marion says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
So the older person is the second name.
Right.
And the first name is the guy who's repeating it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So Amri Latani Latane Rabba Bar Mari, and they said to him that it was taught by Rabba Bar Mari, Mishum Rabba Yochanan ben Zakkai, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I think there's a long time period between from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Rabba, like a couple hundred years. But okay, it was said in the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was right. He lived during the second Beis Hamikdash. He was right. Okay. So shtei tamaros yesh begei ben hinom. There happened to be two tamaros. There are two date trees in gei ben hinom.
Was it because of idolatry? That's what I was
going to
guess.
And there is smoke that comes up from between them. V'zehu sheshaninu tzinei har barzel kasherus. V'zuhi piska shel gehenim. And therefore it was taught that these tzinei har barzel are kasher. Right? Apparently, because of all the smoke, the branches didn't quite look the same. Something like that. V'zuhi piska shel gehenim. And that's opening, also the opening to the gates of hell. If you take a look at Rashi on the second line, it says Gei Ben Hinnom. Where is that? Samach Yerushalayim. That's close to Yerushalayim. So I think I'm pretty sure I remember that.
It's like it's down from the city of David.
It's down when, right. It's when you leave the Yerushalayim through the Shar HaAshvos, through the Dung Gates, right? And you make a right turn, right? So you like come along the walls of the Yerushalayim, and on your left is like this valley, right? There's like a concert. There's all these viewing stands there and stuff. Like they have like concerts there and stuff. So that's where they say it is.
So when you said it was south, I was guessing the reason that you can't use it is because of the idolatry that they offered like the children to the Baal or something.
That's not what it says here.
Isn't that what it was in the Book of Kings? I forget.
Maybe, but not here.
But that's why here it was called it says, the hell.
Here all it says is that the reason is because it seemed to be.
But you
the
said
growth
smoke,
seems to be abnormal.
Because so the smoke.
That, right,
the
so
smoke
it might have
the,
come from the smoke, right. But,
the
but
smoke
the
from
growth,
the Baal worship, you mean?
I don't. That's not what it
so
says.
So where does the smoke come from?
I don't know. It says from the ground. There's smoke coming up from between them.
So that's
all it says.
So it's related to the concept of Gehinnom.
Yes, that's what it seems. That's Pitzpashel Gehinnom. It's the opening to Gehinnom. That's all the Gemara says. I would like to know a little bit more about what in the world he's talking about, especially because I'm feeling the students in the class will be interested in this, but I have not yet really found much. Okay.
It's all, and the people that are down there, it's like hell because of the Arabs and everything.
Okay, thank you for putting that on our the lulav yesh bo shlosha tvachim. Alright, so one more, maybe part of this last piece here. Where it says a lulav needs to be three tefachim. Now our Mishnah, Rashi immediately on the Mishnah said, three tefachim is what's revealed, right? But the three tefachim might be what's revealed, but we really it's four tefachim. We need a tefach to hold it. All right, that was the last piece of the Mishnah over here.
Question.
In order to waive it.
Question.
Yes.
In the Mishnah, for starters, how would we know that the Mishnah is saying it has to be three tefachim or more? How do we know it's not meaning three that it has that it can't be the maximum? Can't be a maximum of three tefachim.
Well, lulav sheyesh bo that has three tefachim. In order to shake it. So it's defining the minimum amount necessary in order to shake it.
It says
it needs to have three in order to shake it. What's the problem? Because if it's only two, it's not going to shake very much. If it's going to have four, it will shake.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So come. So where are we now? So that's the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yehuda. So Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Shmuel. Shir Hadas Va'Rava Shlosha V'Lulav Arba K'deishu Hei Lulav Yotze Mina Hadas Tefach. That the Shir V'Hadas and the Arava is three Tefachim and the Lulav is four. In order that the Lulav sticks out from the Hadasim a Tefach. Yeah. Okay. Ve'ema parnach.
And this is at least a tefach.
At least it has to be at least a tefach more than the Ravim and Hadassim and Ravim.
Now,
right.
Do we say that the Hadassim and the Rava are always going to be three tefachim?
Right.
No
so
more,
that
no
also
less?
Not necessarily true. Right. Ours aren't, and we don't really know what a tefach is. I mean, I think these are almost. I don't. You can usually tell from the Gemara when it means a minimum, when it means a maximum. Right, like here, it's clear. You know, it's talking about a minimum of three tefachim, but more is fine. Right, we assume bigger is better, in the world of chafetz shel mitzvos, right? unless it's too big, right? That's the first parak of sukkahs. Right, how big is too big for the sukkah, right? But we assume that it's talking about, you know, the bigger the better.
Okay.
The bigger the better is fine. So. So Shir Hazara Shosha Lulav Arbak, they say, hey, Lulav Yotzi Minahadas Tefach. Now, I thought what you were going to ask is, well, what about if the Hadassim are bigger? If the Hadass is bigger, right, then does the Lulav still have to be bigger? So I'm not sure we see that here.
Why should it matter if you're waving? If you're waving the Lulav, why does it even have to be a Tefach more than the. I mean, theoretically, if the hadas is four tefachim, right, and it's alongside lulav, it's still wave.
Right. So if you take a look at Rashi here, Rashi says she hey lulav yotze lemala min hadas, so that the lulav goes above the hadas, right? Kishem shehu gavo b'mino mikulam, because it is the biggest of all of the minim, which almost sounds like it needs to be the biggest. Right? There's some idea that the lulav is supposed to be the biggest of all of them. That sounds to be what he is saying.
Which is sort of the way that we
paskin.
But that's right. If you look at our lulav, that's how we set it up.
And maybe that it grows, that it grows taller than the other species, and that's it. So it's appropriate that it should be taller.
Okay, that's the reason for why it should be taller.
Right.
Right? But it sounds like it's not just like, oh, one has the minimum shear, one has the minimum amount of four, one has the minimum amount of three, but you can have anyone be bigger than that. Say, no, the lulav has to be bigger than the dasa and the rava. So that's part of the halacha of the lulav. That's part of picking up the bundle. So shear hadas and rava shoshav lulav arba kadeshi hei lulav yotz min hadas tefach. Rabbi Parnach amar Rabbi Yochanan shidru shel lulav tzorech she yetze min hadas tefach. Rabbi Parnach adds in him Rabbi Yochanan that the shidro of the lulav requires tzarech sheyetze min hadas tefach, that it goes above the hadas by a tefach. That not just so how's Rabbi Parnach different than what was just said by Rabbi Yehuda, right? And so Rabbi Parnach is adding in that the shidra of the lulav, the spine of the lulav, has to go above the hadas tefach. So what we learned on the previous amud, it talks about the shidra and the tiyomes. What's the difference between the shidra and the tiyomes? Both are referring to the center leaves. So no, the shidra is, as long as there are other leaves coming out of it, it's called the shidra. As soon as leaves stop coming out of it, it is then known as the tiyomes, right? It is then known as the as that middle leaf, the centermost leaf. So he's saying that what has to be four tefachim? We assume that the four tefachim means from the bottom of the lulav to the top of the lulav, wherever the top shall be. He says, no, it has to be from the bottom of the lulav to the top of the shidra, right? To the top of where the last leaves come out. After that, it's not called the shidra anymore. After that, it's not called the spine anymore.
In the lulavs that we use,
yeah,
how much of it does... Is there a... Do the leaves extend higher than the end of the spine?
Sure. I mean, you take a look at our lulavs, right? So if you look at the top... But we need the end of the spine. Again,
they're saying if you go up the lulav, the spine ends here, then the leaves extend further.
One leaf goes up. Right? That's called the center leaf. That's called the tiyomes.
Okay.
Right? So, but a lot of leaves go above the end of the shidra. A lot of leaves go above the end of there. So...
I was just curious how much higher the leaves do extend beyond the spine.
A couple of inches. Right, that's the psul of lulav. The psul of lulav is if the yomes is split. So, it's whatever it is. Yeah.
It has to go
up. It's a few inches. Okay. I mean, it's like 6, 7, 8 inches. Yeah. So, fine. Very panacham, Rabbi Yochanan, that is good. So, Tanan. So, we have the following Mishnah. Lulav sheyesh bo gimel tvachim, if a lulav has three tvachim, kedei lenanea bo kasher. Right, so when it says tnan, right, it's learned in a Mishnah. What Mishnah are we learning this from? Right? Our Mishnah. Right, that's what it is. Right? Lulav sheyesh bo gimel tvachim, has three tvachim, kedei lenanea bo kasher. In order to shake it, it is kasher. Ima uchedei lenanea bo kasher. Or you could say, and enough for it to be shaked, for it to be shaken, mark the islay and mark the islay, and each one will read it as they want to read it. What does that mean? Ima uchede lenanea. What is that talking about? So Rashi tells us on the second skinny line, umashi yotzi lemala mina eged hu hamina anea. That which goes above the eged, that which goes above the bundle, that is what is that is the part that's being shaken, right? There has to be enough above the bundle
in order for the hadas and arava.
No, above the binding. Above the hadas and arava. I guess it's above the hadas and aravos. Hu haminane. That's the part that
we didn't shaken. Study where you have to bind it.
No, we didn't. Yeah, what's he referring to here? Um, Look at that. The next Gemara at the bottom of the page has another Derecha Darchei Noam reference. Anyways. Kadeila na neabo kasha. What is that? What does that help us for? Oh, that's what he's saying. He's saying like this. He says, he asks on this Rav Parnach, he says, how could you say that you need three tefachim till the bottom of the tiyomes, till the end of the, you know, till the end of the spine, to where that little middle leaf begins to pick up? Our Mishnah said it needs three tefachim in order to shake it. So you're, according to you, there's going to be a lot more than three tefachim, right? Because there's three tefachim, and then there's the whole top part of the leaf that's not counting towards the three tefachim. That's certainly going to be shaken. That's certainly going to add on to be shaken. So how does that fit in with the language of the Mishnah?
Because they count tefachim only until the end of the spine.
Right, but then, whole reason you need those three tefachim is in order to shake it. So why does shaking have to be from the shidra? That's the part that shakes the least.
Okay.
Right. So he says no. It means Ema, so rather read it not as Gimel Tvachim Kedei L'Naneabo, rather read it as Uchedei L'Naneabo, and there is enough for it to be shaken. Mark it the Islay. And each one defines what that is according to their own opinion, right? The first opinion being Rav Yehuda will say it goes up to the top of the Lulav, and the second opinion being Rav Parnach will say it goes to the bottom of the to the bottom of the to where the shidra turns to being the tiyomes.
Okay, can you just go over that one more time again? Because I'm not picturing in my head where the two of them differ.
Okay, so there is how do we do this? There is a this.
Oh,
someplace, well, I can't really
tell.
It's upside down. Yeah, this is all you can be able to tell here. Someplace, I don't know. There's the spine. The spine is about this, not this thick. It's about this, this thick. It goes up, and there's leave out.
Right.
And then eventually, it stops having leaves come out of it.
Right.
But it still continues on. Right, so that's the shift. Right at that spot, it stops being known as the shidra, it stops being known as the spine, and begins to be known as the tiyomes. It begins to be known as the centermost leaf. Okay, so the dispute here is between whether the three tefachim can go all the way to the top, or whether they must go only up until the end of the spine.
Even if you count the tiyomes, leaves are still going higher than that, too.
No, the tiyomes is the highest leaf.
Oh, I thought you said that the spine, leaves stop coming out of the spine.
Right, and then it becomes known as the tiyomes, which is otherwise also known as the highest leaf. It's the tallest leaf.
Oh, I thought tiyomes was like useless spine.
No, that's the most important. That's the part that passels the Esser, the Luluf. That's actually the most. Of all the psulim that we'll see Bizman Hazeh, where we don't generally have Asherah, we don't generally have Yoni Dachas.
So you're saying that's the part, right? That if the top is cut off, it becomes puzzle.
Right.
So the leaves leave the spine. Leaves,
or if it gets split, also if it gets split, okay. That's really what we're looking for usually.
Okay. So Rabbi Huda says that you stop counting the three tefachim at the Shidra?
Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, at the top. You could go from the bottom, well, three tefachim, but it's really four tefachim, because you have your fist, then another three, right? And the other opinion is that you have your fist, and then the three that goes till the three tefachim can only go to the top of the shidra, not including the tiyomis.
Oh, okay, so I just have them reversed. Okay.
Right. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Okay. Let's go.